Yeah, like the mafia. You've been made.
Falling off the wall.
You've done the work.
Thanks for having me speak, Bobby. I just ran in the bathroom and asked for help, but now the situation is I have a couple of teeth implants put in my mouth, so I have a makeshift bridge. I need to take it out because I'll sit here and sound like Elmer Fudd if I try talking with it. You know? So anyway, I started learning about these principles, you know, when I got my sponsor. You know, life was pretty hairy for me at the end. The wife had thrown me out of the house on a restraining order, and she was filing for divorce, and I went to a detox for 30 days and moved in with mom and dad. You know, we were married and had a kid, and here I am moving back in with mom and dad back on the North Shore, and that wasn't going well. And then I moved in with a friend of mine who just bought a house, who was single and stuff, and rented a room from him. And my sister got me a job painting, you know, get well job, so I had that to do. And I started going to AA, you know, and started asking for help and going to meetings. And I started to feel better. My emotions were calming down. I started coming around. And so after about 4 months, my wife was told by the friend I was living with that I was doing really well, and that we should have a conversation. So we did, and you know, I got on the phone. We got along great. I came down the Cape for the weekend, and she was looking great. She lost like 20 pounds doing laps around the house, wondering what she was gonna do with her life. Because I believe we make the people sicker than ourselves, the people around us. So, you know, she didn't get a chance to go away and be taken care of or anything like that, you know. You know, she was working, and plus we had a child. So actually, I was doing a little bit better than she was when we got back together. I came down for the weekend, and we got along great. She was looking great, and the sex was great, and everything was great. And then her mother found out I was back in her house, you know, where I wasn't paying any rent because I was basically unemployable at the end. And so she wasn't real thrilled with me being back there. I hadn't learned how to handle situations, really. Nothing had really happened to me in those 4 months I got sober, you know. There was any life, you know, like nobody was in my face, you know. And all of a sudden, I come back from an AA meeting, and there's a screaming match on the phone. And I didn't know who she was talking to at first. All I know is, like, you know, I mean, this woman's got rage. You know, I stay away from her today, But anyway, you know, when she hung the phone up on the wall phone, it went flying off the hook. And like, I was like, oh my God, you know. And she puts her finger in my chest and says, you wait here on the couch. I got to go tell my mother you changed. And like, you know, and so I was sitting on the couch and I was like full of fear. What's going to happen to me now? My parents sent me to Iowa for a while to get rid of me because I was destroying, you know, the family, you know, reputation and everything else. And so I went to the bathroom and got a bottle of codeine cough syrup. I mean, that morning I got up, I asked for help. I was having a great day. Me and the wife were getting along great, just getting back together. And all of a sudden, you know, I go to an AA meeting. All of a sudden, you know, I down a bottle of codeine cough syrup, you know. So, you know, I believe, you know, that we have to come in here to change the person that we brought in here and how we react and how we handle situations and how we behave with other people. And, you know, I'm not stupid. I didn't tell my wife what I did that night. When she came back and said, my mother bought it, you know, we're going to live happily ever after, I just rolled my eyes and got up and went to bed. But the next morning, but for the grace of God, I went to an AA meeting full of more shame and guilt. And like, I didn't want to, you know, I couldn't look at anybody, I couldn't talk to anybody, I couldn't tell anybody what I did, you know. It was just like, it was awful, you know. I was right back, everything I gained in my sobriety, I had lost, you know. So that's when, you know, a guy tried to help me over a year before that, who was a member of this group, and I called him up. He brought me in meetings for a couple of weeks when I was smoking pot. But I knew he had something. I knew his life was working. I knew I could see it in him. He was happy. He was, you know, he was getting along with his wife, his job, you know, he owned a business and that was doing well. Everything was great, you know. He was practicing these principles, you know, I could see that. And so I called him up and I had to beg him to help me. He said, I tried helping you before, go find somebody else. And I was like, no, you can't do this to me, you know. So I know today he just wanted to make sure I was ready. So anyway, this time he wasn't picking me up anymore. I was picking him up and going to meetings. I mean, he got me right into my fourth step. You know, I was sober a week and he got me right in right away because I had been around AA. You know, I had been around for maybe a year and a half, not doing anything but sitting in chairs, going to meetings and listening, basically. And so he got me going. It's like, you know, you've done the AA shuffle, so it was time to get busy. And so I did it. And like, you know, like I'd be working on my fourth step and, you know, and we'd be going to meetings together. I'd have to go pick him up. He lived about, you know, 5-7 miles away from me. And, you know, he'd be bullshit if I was late because he always wanted to get to a meeting 10 minutes before it started. He said, you get there 10 minutes before it starts. And you leave 10 minutes after it starts, after it gets over, you know. He started teaching me, you know, how to do things around here. He's like, you know, when you go to a meeting, you know, you go to the bathroom, you get your coffee before the meeting starts. You don't get up, you don't, you know, bother the meeting. You don't interrupt. Everybody's wondering what you're doing, where you're going. Everybody's looking at you. It's like they're trying to focus on the people that are speaking. So, you know, try to go to the bathroom, try to get your coffee, try to settle down before the meeting starts. And just these little things started helping me. You know, I still remember those things today. I still try to do these things today. You know, and stuff with the family was difficult, especially with the wife and, you know, with her sisters and brother-in-laws and her mother and, like, you know. And he explained to me, he says, they don't care about you. They care about her. They want her to be happy. They care about her happiness. It's not about you. It's about her. You know, so, you know, he started drilling. He's like, you know, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? Like, you know, I'd be freaking out at these, like, birthday parties for kids I had to go to or Christmas or, you know, New Year's or whatever it was. You know, I'd be freaking out about it. He said, just smile a lot, like you're having a good time, you know? Don't worry about it, you know? And so, you know, I got through that. In the beginning, it was difficult. It was difficult for everybody, I believe, in the beginning, you know, getting off the alcohol, trying to put our lives back together and stuff. And, you know, so he started teaching me how to live, basically. That's when I started learning about these principles. And, you know, thank God I had somebody to ride with in a car that I could talk to. You know, and tell them about situations from that day and, like, you know, just the stuff's going on. What am I going to do for work? How am I going to put my life back together, you know? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that, you know? I want everything back immediately, you know? I want everything perfect, you know? And, like, and it took a little while, you know, one job to another job and stuff like that. And, you know, I became very successful in business and then that got all screwed up. But, you know, I'm not here to talk about that, but. You know, I try to, you know, behave a certain way. You know, it says when we come in here, we want to change that barroom behavior. You know, we want to start acting and being different. It's like even if you go online and look at Central Service in Boston, they said, you know, they say we're supposed to dress a certain way. We're supposed to act a certain way on commitments. We're not supposed to be swearing. We're supposed to, you know, it's a program of attraction, you know. It's not a program. So, you know, I need to change. Like, you know, I'm not perfect at stuff. I've done things that I've regretted and stuff like that. But, you know, but I keep working on this on a daily basis. And, you know, like, I wasn't even going to come tonight. I was hot, you know, I was tired. And, like, you know, I took a shower and I felt better. And I was like, geez, I really don't have anything to say about this pilot trial stuff. You know, my parents are dead. I'm divorced. The kids are gone. You know, I was like, you know. But then I meditated before I came over here. I tried to meditate 15 minutes, you know, around 5-6 o'clock tonight. And this was just came to mind when I was sitting there thinking. Then I decided, like, yeah, I need to go to the meeting. You know, this is more important than the Patriots game. You know. And stuff. So, you know, I try to think about my I try to work this on a daily basis, you know. Like, how am I doing with these principles? How am I reacting with people? Like, I've gone through the 12 steps. Have I changed? Do I act differently? Do I behave differently around people? You know, and like, you know, and sometimes, you know, a lot of times I fail it, especially with the tourists, with these drivers, you know. It's like, even a couple of times today, it was like, you know, I kept backing off him, you know. It was like I wanted to go flying by him and, you know, beep the horn and give him the finger and all this shit, you know. It's like, and I can't do that today. I just got to be patient and stay behind him and wait, you know, and wait till they do whatever they're going to do, because I don't know what they're going to do. So. You know, so, you know, it's progress, not perfection. And, you know, and I screw up at this all the time, you know, I screw up. You know, thank God I have a sponsor to talk to, you know. Last couple of weeks have been rough, you know, Jay and I went to the Phillies game a couple of weeks ago, and his family just got through the stomach bug, so I got the stomach bug at the game. I shit my head, you know, that night, and I was like, oh my God. And then I had to have the teeth taken out, like, you know, and then I got swimmer's ear, you know, so it's just been like one thing after another the last couple of weeks. I'm like, I'm finally feeling okay, you know. It's like they gave me a bunch of painkillers, you know. I got like 50 painkillers, you know. And like, I'm like, you know, I still kind of like think the same way. I'm like, yeah, doc, I need them, you know. If I take a couple of them, I screw my thinking up. I was like, nah, I can't take these things, you know what I mean? It's like, they make me wacky, you know, and like, so, but whatever. It's like, you know, thank God I know I can't take that stuff today. You know, I'll take it if I need it, you know, but I only needed it for like the first 2 days, and I know it was screwing around with my head, and it's like, I don't want to be like that anymore. It's like, I don't want it anymore, you know. It's like, I've changed that type of a person. I don't want to be sedated anymore, you know. And, but I tell the doctor, I think I have to be, you know what I mean? So it's like, who knows? But thank God I don't have that desire anymore where drinking and drugging brought me. And I think a lot of it has to do with, the, you know, the changing the behavior, how I act around people and trying to practice these principles and, you know, trying to work with other alcoholics and trying to, you know, help them to straighten their lives out. You know, everything's not written in the book. You know, it's a lot of one-on-one, I find. You know, like the first part of the 12 step, they say intensive work with another alcoholic. That means one-on-one stuff to me. So anyway, I've gone over the limit. I like to keep it within 12 minutes, and I'm up to 13 minutes. So that's good enough for me. Thanks.